Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From our epistle lesson, but also too from our other lessons and readings for this morning as well, but primarily from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, his name was Harold Camping. He was the president of Family Radio Christian Network. It was something that he founded. And he gained a following because he said he figured out some kind of mathematical formula for calculating the end of the world. So people wanted to listen to him. And they did. And so he predicted the end of the world. And, well, lots of people have tried, even recently, been trying to do that. But Camping, though, I think he's probably the best known for trying to do that. In fact, he predicted the end of the world three times. Okay? First time, 1994. Second time, it was May of 2011. I particularly remember this one because the prediction came 3 days before my anniversary. So when the time came, it was supposed to be like at 7 o'clock on a Saturday evening. And, well, when it didn't happen, I immediately posted on Facebook, "I guess I'll have to go out and buy my wife an anniversary gift now." Well, he said it was all wrong. He had to tweak a little bit, and so then he predicted it for October of that same year, 2011. Well, we're still all here, and well, he made the following comment. He was made an audio message that he put on his on the website of his particular Camping's Family Radio Network. The then 90-year-old broadcaster told his listeners that the rapture did not occur on October 21st, 2011, because ultimately, it was God's will. Comment that he made, it's like, well, he could have stopped everything if he had wanted to, meaning God could have. Well, two things about Camping's comments. They are both correct. The end of the world will happen according to God's will. Okay? It's going to happen. And the other is, God indeed could have stopped the world if he wanted to. But you know, one thing he should have learned, trying to find some kind of mathematical formula in Scripture is a complete waste of time. Okay? Jesus said to the disciples back in Acts chapter 1, it's like, only the Father knows the time and the date. Jesus doesn't even know. We don't know. Okay? We need to be focusing on what the Bible says. We ought to just read what the Scripture says about what will happen on that last day. So for that, we can turn to our epistle lesson here for today. Paul's writing, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware of that day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." So what will happen on that last day, the end of the world as we know it, Judgment Day? Well, Paul's telling us here, it's going to sneak up on us like a thief in the night. You don't know when they're coming, or else you'd be sitting there waiting for them, right? You don't know when it's going to happen, nor do we, regarding that last day. People will be thinking at the time, hey, life is great, no worries. I'm in a great situation right now. But when it comes, it will be sudden destruction. And that's where it'll be like what Zephaniah says in our Old Testament lesson there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And as Paul says, they will not escape. People will not be able to hide. People will not be able to run away. When Jesus comes back, all peoples will be gathered right there before him. Now, it's definitely a terrible picture. You start looking at that and reading all these kinds of things in Scripture about that. You know, one in which, quite frankly, artists over the years have made all kinds of famous reputations for themselves, drawing pictures about that last day. Particularly, it's a terrible day. They've got events there where showing that people being cast into the lake of fire and those kinds of things. Frightening images. But on the surface of things, it could even frighten the believer if you get caught up in that punishment part. However, there is a very important conjunction word that's there in the Greek, and it's translated into English as this word, the word but. Things would be very frightening indeed, But, Paul continues, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. You see, you are not in darkness. You are not like those who have no faith. Rather, you have faith. You are a child of the light, a child of the day. We are children of the light. For those who are children of light, God has not destined us for wrath, but to be saved through Jesus Christ. And how important is that for us? You see, it's because Jesus' death has so much importance for us, because he's the one who earned forgiveness of our sins. He's the one who's opening the gate there for us to get into heaven. You see, when God looks at us on that judgment day, us who have no sin, there is no bad record to condemn us. All, and I mean everything, has been forgiven. You have been saved for heaven because of Jesus. And this is a gift out of God's grace and out of his love for you. You see, Judgment Day is not a day to fear. Sure, terrible things are going to be happening on that day. Okay? Seemingly all around you, all these horrible things are going to be happening. But they are happening to those who do not believe. You who have faith will be ushered before the Father and into heaven. Now, the devil would like for you to think otherwise. He's working on that now. In fact, he's taking people who make those stupid predictions there about the end of the world's going to happen here on this date, and then when it doesn't happen, the devil's out there going, see? God's word's not true. And so people get sucked into that. Well, if that's not true, and this guy predicted it, well, golly, maybe there's other parts of the Bible that are not true. Like, all your sins are forgiven. It's like, well, maybe most of your sins are forgiven, but you know there's some of those bad ones. Nah, God's not going to forgive those. And so what happens then? We start to doubt. Doubt God's word. That's what he wants. But you see, for those of us, though, on our own, what the devil says is correct. But you see, we who have faith, it's a different story. We who have faith are forgiven. We who have faith have hope. Hope of everlasting life. So, what would be our normal expectation then? Well, think about it in our gospel lesson here for today. What would that day look like? Well, when you look at that, and particularly that gospel lesson, it always comes across as, well, that's one that's used for stewardship, right? That's what we use that for. You know, one guy gets 5 talents, and then he earns 5 more, and well done, good and faithful servant. And then the next guy comes along, and he's got 2 talents, and he earns 2 talents more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And you see the faithful ones are rewarded generously by their master. Now note, this generosity happens regardless of how much they have earned. Note, it's interesting here, because they are faithful servants. They are using what God has given them, their time, talents, and treasures, and they're using them now. Not like the other guy who squandered it all, right? What happened to him? You see, when he went there before the master, his first words, well, I knew you were a harsh guy, a hard guy, you know, you're hard to please and that kind of thing. You're a hard man. You see, there's no trust in the master there. Not at all. Doesn't trust that he's generous. And so then from lack of faith comes lack of service. The guy didn't do anything. Buried the money in the ground. Didn't take what God had given him and use it. So he believes that the master's harsh. He gets judged harshly as well. And because he did not trust in the loving generosity of his master, that servant is cast out into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see what we're having here in this parable here, and why it's put in this end times kind of language here. It's a case of two who had faith and one who did not. You see, the ones who had faith get more in abundance. And what is the abundance that they get? They get to go into heaven. But the ones without faith, well, they're cast out. Where, pray tell? Think of it in these terms. They are cast out from the Master's presence. They are cast out from the presence of God. And in the end times, well, that means they are cast into hell. So all this comes down to one important thing. What is the person's perspective in looking at Jesus? Here's the all-important question to ask. Do you have faith in Jesus or not? If you have faith in Jesus, is Judgment Day a worry? No, not at all. Will it be a dreadful day? For some, yes. For those who have faith, no. Will it be a scary day? For some, yes. For those who have faith, no. See, the key is to remember to have and use that faith now. Put it into practice. Use what God has given you now. And we who have faith, when we do use it, well, that's when we are going to receive our reward, O good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy and receive your reward. You're getting to go into heaven. And that's why Paul ends with these words regarding all of that. Encourage one another with these words, that we can, because you who have faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.